Pickaxe.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Wo schmeckt's am besten diesen Sommer?
Natürlich an den Autobahnraststätten von Surways und Tank und Rast. Kids eat free. Jetzt ein Gericht ab 9,99 Euro in unseren Restaurants kaufen und dein Kind bekommt eine Kidsbox gratis dazu. Mit panierten Hähnchenfilets, Pommes, Getränk und einer Überraschung. An allen teilnehmenden Autobahnraststätten. Infos zur Teilnahme unter raststätten.de.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Triforce podcast. Today, I'm here, as once again, in lovely rainy England.
Really selling this podcast.
Lovely Pyrrhon.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Very exciting.
My lovely friend, Sips of Pyrrhon. How are you guys doing? Oh, wow.
Great. Oh, man. So I'm doing so good. How are you doing?
Oh, so good.
Great. You know what I heard somebody say the other day? Somebody bumped into somebody that they knew, maybe like work colleagues or whatever. They were in I think it was the grocery store, and he walked by. He's like, "All right, Dave, how's it going?" And then Dave turned around. He's like, "Pretty damn good, actually." I thought, Jesus Christ, like you don't hear that very often. Pretty damn good. I think the only time I would say pretty damn good, actually, with like a kind of like a smug little laugh afterwards, was literally if I was holding a lottery ticket where I just won like 10 million and I was kind of bewildered, like this was fresh information, I'd be like, oh, pretty damn good, actually. But that's the only time. I can't think of another time where I'd bust out a pretty damn good. Like
that's a rare one.
It's a bit much, isn't it? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like...
I think 99.9% of the time the response is, yeah, not bad, you
not
know?
Not bad. Yeah, it could be better, bad, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, tick it along, you know.
Maintaining, yeah.
Yeah, just tick it along, you know how it is.
Ooh, yeah. That is the stock response. But
yeah.
No,
you
not
don't really want an update.
Pretty damn good, actually.
Pretty damn good, actually. Now I'm like, well, fuck me. My life sucks.
Yeah.
Dave's having it all. Dude, oh, there's somebody won a £10 million national lottery and they haven't claimed it.
Really?
And it's, yeah, you've got 6 months to claim it.
Maybe it was him. Maybe it's him. He's just like pretty damn good. He's playing a game. He's just he knows.
I think he was bought in London. A ticket was bought in, I think, Southeast London somewhere.
Oh, right. check down the sofa cushion.
Yeah, check your nan's house or wherever else you might store lottery tickets.
Exactly.
Crazy.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's just a... Oh, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
You know what the thing is?
10 million.
To me, winning 10 million would be amazing. Obviously, there's no doubt about that. But the absolute horror at not realizing you'd won and thinking, God, I could have thrown that ticket out. Like, that would never leave your mind.
Yeah.
Like, you have
the
money and you think, oh, Jesus Christ, I almost lost it all. I almost fucking lost it all. If I'd just cleared out my room, thrown that old ticket out, I would have thrown away 10 million, would never have known. Oh my God, that would play on my mind forever.
If I won 10 million, man, I would invest so heavily into like deregulating a couple of industries. And then,
yeah, right.
I think I would probably also donate to some politicians to try to sway some elections and stuff as well.
Because
I think that's like what a lot of people with money are doing nowadays. And I feel like, I don't want to be left out. I want to do the same. So
crypto, mate, I'd wash it all into the
coin. I would join the Board of Peace, the Gaza Board of Peace.
Yeah.
I'd need a couple of extra millions
I'd call it
to join.
Titcoin. Titcoin.
There's always times where you've felt in your life like, oh, I should have invested in this, or I should have kept my Apple shares, or I should have, I was going to do this and I never did. You know, do you know what I mean? Like, that's constant regret. Okay. And you will experience it more and more as you get older. But what my little trick, my mental trick to get out of it is, you know what it's like. If you had kept that investment, it would have gone down. Do you know what I mean? If you had, that's Murphy's law. If you had bought the Bitcoin, then it would have crashed and never recovered. And you would have then been like, oh, and lost all your money. Do you know what I mean? Do not think that way. Okay.
No.
Because the world doesn't play to your fiddle. You know, I think that The world warps itself to the worst situations often.
Warped, always.
So it does. So don't, you know, don't think, oh, I wish I'd done that differently. You know, you'd made those decisions at the time with the best information you had.
Yeah.
And if you'd made them differently, you might have been worse off. So
I'm one of those guys where, like, I see something, I'm like, man, I got to get in on that early. And I get in on it. And immediately, the minute I touch it, the whole thing turns to a pile of dust. Like, it just turns to shit in front of my very eyes.
What big flops have there been lately? Like, huge...
Huge flops.
I feel like you don't hear about them, right? Because they like you. Did you invest in Morbius?
Mrs. F told you about the huge flop?
I didn't invest in Morbius.
Oh, the huge,
the big
flop
slapping sound as it hits the table. Yeah, just flops right out. No, I don't know. I can't think of any. Do you know? I'm not an investing type. Like, I've never really thought, oh, I'm going to buy some stocks, or oh, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. You know, like.
I bought some indirectly.
Some people bunch of my friends are always talking about
but I didn't give
stocks.
A shit. Here's what I did. I with my bank, you can just open an account that's just a little investment account.
Yeah,
you put money in there and they invest it. So I put a little bit of money in and it's gone up a little bit, and I was like, this is probably better than just sitting it in an account. Where I got a letter the other day saying, we're going to give you basically 3p a year for all the money that you've got in the bank with us. About 3, maybe 4 pence a year,
right,
if you're lucky. And I was like, well, fuck me. That's, you know, now you're just holding on to it for
that's
me.
Like,
there's nothing
that's
even
like
in
4 years and you can buy a Freddo. That's
right,
amazing.
Exactly. Like, I was like, geez, they're sending me a letter telling me, Mr. Forsyth, your interest now, we are not interested. The interest level is zero interest.
Right.
Like, we don't want to give you any money.
We don't want it.
Please bank with us. Yeah. And please give us money for a card that you can use to spend your own money. That's where we're at. So they don't want you to save. But if you put
you
that
get
money,
a GoHenry to spend your 8 pence.
Exactly. I put it in a little bit in an investment account. And it's just fun to see it go up.
Sure.
But that's it. I'm not paying attention. I'm not saying, get me 15 shares of blah, blah.
No.
Like, I'm not making that call. I don't fucking know.
A couple of my friends are into it, like, for fun, not like big time, you know, but like not like not pennies either. You know, like some of them have invested like $1,000 or something.
Right, right.
You know, and I think, like, you know, if you're doing it because you're interested in it and you just want to see like what you can do, that's fair enough. It's like almost like a hobbyist, you know.
Right. But then,
you see sometimes that people like, I've lost it all. They've lost like 3 million. You're like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah.
I would kill myself.
Like, wake
if
up in the morning
happened
and,
to me. Like,
wake
that would
up in
be...
the morning and checking the stock. Like, how's the market? And like every single news story,
if
you notice, it's all these news stories. This is a recent thing that just partway through the story, some terrible tragedy, ski lift accident in Devon, 1,000 killed. We're going now to our financial consultant, Steve Moneyman. Steve, what's the deal with the markets as a result of this ski lift crash? Well, we've seen a dip in ski-related shares, Tony, so, you know, you might want to move your money into NVIDIA or something. It's like, what? Why is everything now pitched in relation to how it affects the economy?
Yeah.
Like this vast, nebulous thing that nobody seems to have control over apart from the extremely rich people at the top. So don't tell the average person this is what it does to the market. Just fucking tell us.
I think the average person is just absolutely flooded with information that doesn't matter to them at all. It's too much. You know, you get like a big economic analysis and stuff, and you just think, well, most people are just like, how much are groceries this
right,
week?
Yes,
you know,
how much
like
is milk,
it's very, very, very simple stuff, but they just try to run you around like
it's mad.
Run you around the houses with like just way too much info and none of it is useful. And it's just,
do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of in 1984, they're always giving them updates constantly.
Yes.
About like how much tractor production has gone up this quarter versus last quarter.
Yeah.
It's up 0.4%. And, you know, it's like you're meant to celebrate this fact as if we're part of some collective commercial entity. But really, most people, like you said, whoever's in charge or whatever, their amount of money in their pocket goes up or down. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And they don't have any control over it. It's all this nonsense trying to make out like we're actually somehow across all this. Like the average person's like, yes, I
we're
see what this is going to do to the market.
We're all mucking in and we're all equal. Yeah,
we're not. It's just silly. I'd say the equivalent is that there's a giant hole in the ground, like a massive hole.
Yeah.
And we're all in the hole digging away. And we're basically digging our way down. We don't know what's down there. At the top of the hole, there's some lads with binoculars who can see what's coming. And they're yelling down into the hole, "You won't believe it. Fucking, it's, you know, it's coming from over the east now." And we're like, "Whoa." But we can't see because we're in this hole. We just have to trust the people with the binoculars that they're leading us right.
Yes.
Hey, I've been getting a lot of Instagram ads lately. And I noticed that they all fit into a certain sort of bracket. There's, there's similarities, okay? So it's an awful lot of these ads seem to be quite a jacked dude. A dude that's clearly in shape. Certainly by the sort of internet standards of in shape. You know, he's like...
Right. He's just, Is this the Tai Chi stuff?
No, this guy's just super into protein.
10 minutes of
lifting,
Tai Chi a day. All right.
Wakes up at 4 a.m. so he can get a head start on his workouts. That kind of guy. But he's selling you on like a neck brace or a shoulder support or a cushion.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's like, "Hey guys, if you're tired all day and you're worried about the future of the species on planet Earth, let me tell you about this new knee brace from Knee Braces R Us." Like, I don't know why they always make out. They'll pick an ailment that everyone has.
Yeah.
Like sometimes, does your neck sometimes hurt when you wake up? Does your back
come to think of it,
when
my neck hurts right
shit?
Now.
Exactly.
Oh my God, it's
like, so you wake up and
me.
You're like still tired? Like, yes. Because you haven't been. I'm not.
Funnily enough, because I'm like a mole man who sits on a computer all day. How did this happen?
I see. So
I'm
this,
sore, yes.
This hits both the millennial nerd group and the old people group.
Yes.
These ads.
It's like everyone is tired all
day.
That's life. We're all like, "God, I'm so tired. I didn't sleep well." Do you wake up tired? Who are these people that wake up like, pow, like Pee Wee Herman? Their eyes just pop open. They're out of bed and they've got their toast. Like that. Straight into the day. Like it's the best thing ever. No fucking person does. Everyone wakes up like, "Oh Christ, what time is it?" Oh, doesn't matter.
I feel like my whole life I'm like Jack D now. Like everything is just like a heavy sigh, a big inconvenience. I've got to wake up. I got to wake up now. What's my day like? Oh, shit. I've lost all pep in my step, I feel like, you know? Like I've
Well,
just,
then you
I,
need the new back brace.
I need to do 10
from...
minutes of Tai Chi per day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
inspirational.
You know, it's so I just find a lot of these ads. I just think, why are you making out like that's a problem?
People on my stream have been saying recently that they're getting a lot of ads for like women's clothing, like tights and like Spanx and like whatever they're called, you know, those like you know, like magic tights or the ones like the body shaping ones and everything.
Right.
And I honestly think it's because I talk about skirts so much in Zomboid because every time there's like a especially a long skirt, but any skirt, you pick it up because there's a new recipe in Zomboid where you can shorten a skirt, you get a rag for it, and you get tailoring XP. So like if you're out just killing a ton of zombies and you find like 20 skirts, it's just an easy sort of byproduct of then leveling up tailoring so you can patch up holes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But because I'm saying skirt so much, I think it's now, you know, thinking that like my content is somehow related to women's clothing. Like I always say, like, I'm not a pervert either. I'm not just collecting skirts. Like I'm not a weirdo. Like I've got a van full of skirts, bloody, dirty skirts.
But
like,
there's nothing weird about it.
Yeah, no,
right?
I always say like, I hope they don't pull me over because like in the back of my van, every time I go out, it's just like 25 bloody, dirty skirts. And then it's just like,
skirt,
20
you said
broken handles.
I think we've said skirt like 20 times now. So anyone listening to the podcast,
so I think it's picking up on me saying the word so much that it's now feeding like, you know, women's fashion ads back to viewers and stuff.
I assume that the Spanx ads would be because we're getting to the point where people are realizing their New Year's resolution is not sticking.
Oh,
and they're
going
to have to make out
it's
so
end of January.
Yeah,
that's
get
about
the Spanx on and you'll be like, yeah, it's feeling great. The New Year's resolution to cut down on red wine in the evenings is paying dividends, you know, but you're actually just lying.
Man, the new Year's resolutions, I know this is not really related to New Year's resolutions, but like one of like the biggest beefs I've had so far in 2026, and I'm sure a lot of people out there would agree with this, but maybe it's different where you live, In Jersey, right now, for some reason, they've decided to do roadworks on every single road. Like, everything is closed. It's
insane. End of the financial year.
Fucking diversions everywhere. And there's like an interactive map that you can look at because we need to park places. We gotta drop kids off at school and stuff.
It's the same everywhere.
So you look at this interactive map and it comes up and every road is red. Like, it's just everything is, every fucking thing is closed all at once. And I don't even understand why this time of year is the time to do it. The weather's fucking terrible.
It doesn't matter.
It's pouring rain every day. Like, these guys are outside. They're all bundled up and shit. Like, it's crazy.
It's the oldest story when it comes to roadworks. They have to get it spent or they don't get the budget next year. It's 100% true. So January, they're like, shit, we've only got a few months left. We need to bosh you all this money. Either their accounting period actually ends at the end of January. Like, if you have self-assessment, you have to file your tax return by the end of January.
Yeah.
If they're on the April tax day, April 1st, they've got 4 months. They want to book in as much fucking work as they can to spend out the budget so they can go back and say, hey, you can't cut a budget. We needed all that.
Yeah.
Look how much we spent last year. That's all it is.
Fuck.
So everything's every country, closed. Every fucking where. Yeah.
All these car parks, like the really convenient ones are like inaccessible or closed or whatever. So the other day we were dropping, we were picking up our kids and we had to just park randomly in some spot, but it wasn't exactly clear what the spot was intended for, because there's a lot of like residential parking spots, so you have to have like a permit to park there, and some are just like you just need to show a card to say I'm just here for like 10 minutes or whatever. And we got this little card from like the kid's school that says like I'm just here for 15 minutes, I'm doing a pickup, like don't book me or whatever. So we had that thing on. And we got booked. We got a parking ticket. And I just thought, fucking hell, man. Like, I'm just trying my best here. Like, I'm doing all the things that they want and need me to do. And it still just feels like everybody is against you. Like, everything is stacked against you. You're like, this fucking guy gives me a parking ticket. And like, the thing is on there saying, like, I'm at the school, like, next door. Be like 15 minutes, and it's just like, oh, it's crazy. It just drives me nuts. I know this is a very like dad or maybe boomer thing to complain about, but I'm sure a lot of you out there have had similar experiences where it's just like, man, give me a break. Got to be some flexibility, right? Like, or like, but the thing is, you know that if you appealed it or tried to appeal it or whatever, it would just go nowhere. They just waste your time. And
but this is the thing I was saying earlier. Like, it is just, things just happen at the worst time.
Yeah.
When you don't, you know, that's just the way of the world. It's inevitable that, you know, everything's going shit and then something even worse will happen.
Yeah.
Just to add, what is it? Something to misery? Add spunk? Yeah,
add some spunk. Get some spunk in there.
Put some cum on it. Yeah, it's
what?
So I'm just enjoying. I'm moving in next Monday.
Oh, is it next Monday? Nice. So are you like fully packed up? Are you ready to go? Pretty much. Because that's soon. Yeah, that's like in 4 days.
Yeah, mostly in boxes.
Right.
I think it'll be fine. I've been running back and forth.
You're getting the jitters a little bit. Are you having some thoughts like, oh shit, have I made the right decision here?
I just need to take the plunge really at this point, I think, and actually be moved in. Because I know a lot of people do the move on the same day, and I've had this, like, luckily had this buffer period. But I think actually it's been really stressful. Some people were like, didn't even want to listen to the last podcast because it was labeled like Lewis's house anxiety.
And they thought they would trigger them. Everybody.
Yeah,
is.
No, for sure. Yeah. Because I think it is such a stressful thing for so many people. And a few people had really good stories in there about experiencing similar crazy stresses. It's fun. It's different. It's nice to be doing something a little bit different and a little bit of an experience, but also like just not being able to fix things as well. Like, not like there's this leaky gutter and it's been pouring with rain,
right?
And I know that the gutter is like running the water down the side of the house because it's got this whole big like streak of brown showing a mold on the wood and stuff, and I'm like, I really want to get up there and get someone up there and fix it, but actually every day at the moment, it's January, is freezing cold and pouring with rain.
Yeah.
And so it's just not
a good spring job.
Not the time to fix this thing.
Yeah.
And so like stuff like that is just living rent-free in my head. Like 100 of those though. You know, like, why does this room smell so bad? What is causing it? How do I fix it? Yeah. Is there damp in the chimney thing? Because they said there was, and Is do I need to get someone up there soon?
It's funny because I feel like I know a little bit more about how pipes, wires, and all that are run through houses just because we've had a lot of renovation work. But before that, it was just like this mystery, you know, like you're in your house and you look at the walls and you're like, what the fuck is behind there? And you just imagine it's like a console from like the Starship Enterprise or something back there with like, you know, lights and buttons and wires everywhere and stuff. But it's actually pretty simple. And like, once you know where things are, you can kind of... if you see an issue, you're like,
fiddling around.
Not even so much fiddling around, but you could kind of just like do a process of elimination on like a lot of things quickly and sort of think, oh, maybe it's that or whatever. But
I tried
to
change a light bulb once and I got electrocuted. Do you know what I mean?
What?
Like, and I went flying off the ladder.
Was it a bayonet cap or was it like a twist on one?
Fuck knows what it was.
It was a twister.
I shouldn't be fucking around up there, apparently. Because I thought, I've turned the light off. You know, I'm not going to get electrocuted. That doesn't make any fucking difference. Because
right.
They're still wired into the mains, right? Or whatever.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, I've done a load of dumb shit in my life. And I'm done with being electrocuted or, like, you know, fucking doing some stupid shit, falling off a ladder. Do you know what I mean? I fell off, like, a chair the other day. Do you know what I mean? I was, like, I can't be shinning up the roof, you know, at my age. No. I just don't trust myself to. Like, it's funny though. I tell you what is funny, how I've lived in my current flat for like, what, 10 years or whatever. And you're looking at this new house, the amount of things you're supposed to have done like every year or something, you know, you're supposed to have the boiler serviced every couple of years. I've never had anyone look at this boiler time I've been there.
But your landlord will have been doing that.
No,
right?
No one has.
Can I give you a tip? And maybe it's something that you haven't thought about, but it's definitely worth having and worth looking into. And you could probably find somebody like local in your area very easily. Get a window cleaner in once a month to do your windows because they're a pain in the ass.
Oh, that'd be a joy.
Good children. Yeah. What are they for?
They don't want to go up on ladders either, it turns out. Like every time I'm like, hey, look, this will be fun. And they're like, they start crying. So I can't.
I lower them
there.
From above then. Lower them.
On a pulley system. Yeah. No,
this
honestly, like
the
nice thing is like, because you're if you're working, you're not at home or whatever, they'll just come by, do it and just slip the, like the bill through your mailbox or whatever. And it's like, I think it's like £15 a month or something.
And it looks so much better to see out
your windows.
It looks
great, yeah, because you get lots of grime and grease and shit on the outside of your windows, like if you don't clean them regularly. But if you keep them clean regularly, it's great.
But for real, every year you're supposed to sort of have someone shin up the roof and put the tiles back on. You're supposed
the gutters,
to have like
gotta get the gutters cleared out.
You've got to get like you're supposed to check. Are so many fucking things.
Got to
right?
check. It's if like, you have a shed outside, you got to get in there and check it to make
it's
sure
like 100
that
things,
mice haven't started breeding like crazy in there and stuff.
I mean, no, I'm talking about things that you have to have a man to come around and look at.
Oh, right.
Do you know what I mean? Not just stuff you can look at yourself.
Well, like, if you open up your shed and there's like a million mice babies in there, I think you need a man for
okay.
that too. Like,
sure. No,
unless you're just
you
going in there with boots and you just, I started stomping. Just, I wanted to get them out.
But it's like there's just so many like little things that you need.
Yeah,
to,
you got
to
keep an eye on the drains.
You're supposed to.
Drains,
and the thing is, like, I just haven't ever done this in my life. And I'm like one of my friends. I'm not going to name who they are. Moved into a house about, I'd say, 12 years ago now, and they had a survey done, of course. And I was chatting to them the other day, and they were like, "Yeah, I really need to do some maintenance on my house. It's getting to be a bit, you know, there's a few problems with it." And I was like, "Oh yeah." And they showed me the survey, and the survey was like red, 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 like red, red, red. You'd get this someone up on the roof. And I said, did you ever do that? And they're no. And I was like, did you ever like do this? No. Did you ever do this? No.
No.
They've got like the list of things that were wrong with their house when they moved in that they've never had
fixed in 12 years. So
I
we had the same thing where we got the survey, and I probably still got it somewhere. And it was a thick document. Like the guy put together a proper survey, and he called me up. This is way back when we bought the place. I was still working in New Malden, and he called me up at work, and it was like an hour and a half phone call of him just running the house down, telling me all the shit that was wrong with it. You're going to have to get this fixed, this fixed. Things like lead flashing, which is something I'd never thought of before, but it's like, you know, on the roof between the tiles, there'll be this literally a piece of lead that's like flattened out and hammered down
into
position.
You can get in trouble for lead flashing.
You get those under windows and
indeed.
Stuff too.
Right, flashing all that kind of shit. Yeah. If there's a crack in it or if it's peeled back, you need to get that replaced because it's like part of the ceiling. Some tiles are loose. So if they're out of position, this weatherproofing is this brick's got crack, all of that shit. Like they run through everything. The thing is, the surveyor doesn't want to turn up and say, yeah, it looks fine. Because if you say, hang on a minute, your survey didn't mention this blatantly obvious crack in the wall, I'm going to sue you. So I think they just cover everything as much as possible. And bearing in mind, they can only go on stuff that you can basically see. Yeah. You can't open shit. You can't peel anything. You can't lift anything. It's just, can I see
it's
cracks
just,
in the fucking wall?
It's just,
and that's it.
If you're buying a place, if you're in a position where you're just buying a place straight up and you don't need any help from the bank, you know, you're like a straight up a cash buyer. You're not borrowing any more money,
damn,
or whatever. You don't even need to do surveys and stuff like that. That's all just for a risk assessment for the bank because they're lending you money against.
Yeah, they need it.
Yeah,
in case it's like, oh shit, actually this house is
going to
fall over.
And because you'll have insurance
it's probably smart to do one anyway, though.
But the thing is, like the requirements for these change all the time. So if you bought a house 50 years ago, the survey that would have been done at the time, you know, would have been probably not as comprehensive as a survey done now. You know, they're looking for like different things now because, you know, like especially like things like asbestos and stuff like that.
Mm.
Whereas years ago, they didn't bother. Now they have to look at it because
it's fucking everywhere.
It needs
man.
To be removed because it's so dangerous.
Yeah, if you don't touch it, it's fine. Just
yeah,
don't
but even
touch
but
it.
But I think like from a risk point of view, they you know if you have a survey and they identify it,
yeah,
you have to
someone's
have it
gonna
out.
Touch it. Yeah, someone's gonna fuck it.
Because they touch it though. They because they have to take samples to send it off. So they're breaking bits off or drilling into like you know whatever to get samples sent off to see if it's got any asbestos in it. So. I don't know. And the thing is, once you're done with that and you moved in, there's then no requirement for you to do anything. If the survey said you had to do something, you would have had to do it at the time before you moved in. But once you've moved in, even if there's recommendations on the survey, you just ignore them because nobody's going to come by and enforce them. Nobody's going to follow up. Once you're in purchased, it's all signed and gone through everything. They just leave you to it. So you might live there for like 30 years with all of these outstanding things. And then the next survey that comes along is just going to be like, holy shit, you need so much done. It's like, well, yeah, because fucking the two generations of people that lived here before never did anything because there was no requirement for them to do it. It was all.
I look after it because I don't get away my house to fall over.
That's
mainly.
The thing.
Yeah.
I think the idea, though, is that a yearly maintenance will save you money in the long run.
Oh, God,
But at the same time, like it adds up, right? Having
oh, does,
10
yeah.
guys around.
It's a money
it does. Don't try and tackle it all at once.
No.
Pick the most important shit.
Yeah.
If there's water coming into your house,
yeah, that trumps
that.
Everything. You have to get water fixed.
If there's water escaping from your house, handle that.
Yeah.
Basically, water is the enemy of the homeowner.
Yeah.
The two of the main elements, fire and water, are the worst ones.
Yeah,
you've got to handle
and
that
wind.
Shit.
Wind can be very bad too.
Yeah, but that's everybody. Yeah. I'd say also earth moving is also
earth,
bad.
Yeah.
That's
hot.
The elements.
Yeah.
The
heart,
elements are your enemy.
You can get
heart
a lot of foundation
important.
Cracking and stuff.
Yeah.
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 Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 € bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Mm, lecker. Und für 1,99 € gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 € oder Mucki Sandwich Eis je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 €. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Before we continue, this message is sponsored by Raycon. With the Super Bowl and the Winter Olympics this month, there's no better time to get inspired, push harder, and upgrade your workout routine. That's why I've been using Raycon's Essential Open Earbuds. Not to actually go to the gym, I don't do that, but I have been doing a bit of gardening, I do a bit of walking. They're quite interesting because they don't block out all the noise around you. So the idea is that you can stay aware while running, lifting, or walking outside, but your music music and podcasts remain crisp. They're really light and the ear hook part rotates so they actually stay in. They haven't fallen out on me yet. Raycon has over 3 million customers, and if you don't like them, there's a 30-day guarantee. Plus, they're lightweight, they have a multi-point connection to connect to multiple devices and switch seamlessly, which I have used by accident, but it did work, and they have 36 hours of battery life, which is genuinely impressive. So yeah, I'm a big fan, I'm using them, and I enjoy them, so why not? Get yourself a pair. The essential open earbuds are here to help you go for gold. So go buyraycon.com/TriforceOpen to get 15% off. Buyraycon.com/TriforceOpen. Thanks to Raycon for sponsoring.
Oh, guy, I got two questions for you. They're both vaguely space related. All right, so I was watching Interstellar last night.
A great movie,
and it's the scene where they go down to the planet next to the black hole. The water planet.
Where time advances very quickly.
Exactly. So if you're on the planet, obviously time feels normal relative to where you are. Everyone in orbit is like 30 years has passed That's what happens. So it occurred to me, if we ever did figure out faster than light travel with the problems with relativity and stuff, you would have to do away with interest on bank accounts, because you'd just go off on some black hole mission and come back. And you'd have 200 years of interest on your savings account.
Yeah. Think of all the Freddos you'd have then.
You'd be like, I've only been gone 2 years.
I've been gone two years and I've got £6 in my extra pounds in my...
Well, but also you'd be a trillionaire, but a loaf of bread would cost $1 trillion. Do you know what I mean?
Right, it would be pretty nuts.
It's
just
easy.
Saying.
You just link it to inflation, right? And so that's all. Because then it stays the same value relatively. Okay, well, so it's like in Egypt, ancient Egypt, a bag of silver would buy a house. Probably still does today. Well, probably not actually. But do you know what I mean?
How big a bag?
It was like, I think it was an ounce of silver should buy a good suit or something like that. And I think, is an ounce of gold buy a good suit? I can't remember the stuff, but they do still have.
What fucking world are you living in where we're talking about the value of a suit in terms of how much gold one uses?
Gold or
to
silver.
Buy? What are you, Midas? Midas?
Listen, no, if you went and done an Interstellar and you invested your gold and silver back in Egyptian times and came back today, you'd still have roughly the same value, is all I'm saying, in terms of what it can buy you, in terms of suits and houses and things that we need, right?
Well, so you think, actually, if I put all my money in a high interest bank account, went away to a black hole for 2 years in my time, came back 150 years have passed,
my money would still
be worth the same amount.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to put that to the test. Looks like average house price, 1950, £1,891.
Nice. Yeah.
So if I had £2,000 back then, let's do inflation calculator on the Bank of England, and what would £2,000 in 1950 be worth in December 2025? £60,000.
Wow.
That's £60,000. So if I had £60,000 back in 1950, I could have bought a house for it. So that's the average house I could have bought for 60.
But
so
in 1950, you could buy a house for like £1,000.
No. So yes, the average house was £2,000.
Right.
The equivalent to 60.
So
who's
got £60,000 laying around in 1950? If that
right, but
if those
the thing is,
things, like,
I know that back in the day, like my dad was telling me, his first job paid £2,000 a year.
Yeah.
And his first house cost £2,500.
Yeah.
This is in the
60s. So a year of working and you could buy a house outright.
Yeah. Like he got a mortgage. He was like, yeah, here's the house. Here's my wages. And this, and they were like, yeah, cool. We'll sell you that house. Here's your mortgage. And he was like, oh, it costs £2,500. I was like, yeah, but you were earning £2,000.
Yeah.
Like the average salary in this country is like 28.
Yeah.
30, I think.
Yeah. How long was his mortgage for?
It doesn't matter. You could fucking sell it. I mean, you know.
Hang on a second. One second. Look, what does a house mean these days?
You just bought a house.
You just
because
bought
in
one.
1950, a house probably meant like a fucking shack with a one.
No,
like
it didn't.
Outdoor
toilet. Houses in 1950 were like decent size.
Yeah, oh,
actually, probably better proportions than new
Not
stuff.
Not 1750. Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, though, the standards have changed. Right. And there is a higher series of requirements and rules for what a house has to be now. And
you've got to have a roof, windows, and a door. Or it's not a house. Oh, but my house was built in 1950 when we didn't have any of those things. It was just a block of ice and you had to tunnel into it.
All right. I'm just, yeah, so I don't think that's, what's the other concern about Interstellar?
So here's the other one.
Moving along. What's the other? What is the
swiftly
other?
Swiftly moving
what
along.
What is the other interstellar concern that you have?
So I was, this is a bit, this isn't necessarily Interstellar, but it did occur to me that there's no aliens in Interstellar. They just meet other humans from the future, right? Like that's the thing.
Sure.
So what if God is real, okay? And humans are the only species in the entire universe. And the reason for that is that this is just one of a number of runs. This is like, we're run 117, and he's trying out humans to see which is the best. So it's a bit like the whole universe is a giant test for different species that he drops in. So he's like, let's make one called humans, and this is their characters, and this is their physical characteristics, and this is what kind of thing they are. I'm going to drop them here on this nice planet in the middle of a galaxy here, just at this arm, and we'll let that run for a few billion years, and we'll see what they make of it. And if we don't get out of the solar system, he's like, right, that's a no, puts a big X next to humans. Next, it's the Glorbons. Let's put the Glorbons and see how they do. They're going to be an aquatic species. We'll run that for a few billion years. So the Big Bang and all that, the Big Crunch, everything is just the universe being born. There's a single species gets free run to see how they do. Then it all crunches down again to reset. And then we just rinse and repeat. And it's just God running simulations on which would be the most efficient an effective form of life that's possible.
Very cool.
Yeah, maybe.
If true.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I was always incredibly skeptical of this and largely still am. That you know,
what, things that I say?
You know, the idea that we're in some sort of simulation. But I think
it's not a simulation. It's not a simulation. It's real.
Sorry, it's a roguelike.
It's 100% real. It's just that the whole thing, the universe did have a beginning and it will have an end. And in the meantime, we've got no indication there's anyone out there but us to date. I'm just saying, what if? What if the reason for that is it's by design and, you know, whoever's up there pulling the strings is just figuring it out. Like, I wonder which life form is the best one. Let's just see how they do. Let's see if any of them gets to the same level that we did of ascending to be able to create and crush universes at will, you know, to just run a test. Why not?
Yeah.
Well, I genuinely don't think it's possible at all, but...
you don't think it's possible?
I don't think it's, well...
I think it's likely.
That's fine.
Here's
I'm not
the
saying
philosophical
this is
thing. We physically, as a human being, only have to go on our senses, which are fairly, in terms of technology, rudimentary, you know. Cameras have better resolution than our eyes do. You know, databases can store data much better and calculate numbers better. Like they could, you know, speakers can hear better. Everything, all of our senses.
Yeah, but we
and
made
stuff,
all those.
This is a very, I know, but this is a very like, basically we could be very easily tricked by a computer. We could be in the Matrix and we could be very easily tricked. Okay. Yeah. Because we have such limited, we trust in all of our instruments that we've made to tell us the nature of reality and space and the calculations. We could all just be fed a lie and this could all just be a holodeck. You know, it doesn't have to be real. And it wouldn't take much to fool us, really, technologically, because we can almost, it's almost within our reach right now, right? These VR simulations and the big data processing and all this stuff, you could be on the Truman Show and it wouldn't have to be actors. It could just be an AI thing, right? That is a
You're
real
talking about
possibility.
Simulation theory. I'm not talking right? about simulation theory.
But I think that like
you're talking about God in a science lab, but running simulations, though.
Your idea is related in a sense that it would need an inordinate amount of processing power to crunch every single atom in the universe.
No. There's no atom crunch. There's no processing power. You just create a universe and a species, one species, drop them onto the best planet you can find for that species and leave it alone. There's no processing power. There's no vast computer.
Yeah.
This is not a simulation.
It's God seeded us.
This is some kind of
an alien seeded us back
to us. Yeah.
A million years ago.
Yeah, they were like, let's just see how this one turns out. Yeah.
Okay.
And they leave shit behind to like fuck with us, like dinosaurs and shit.
Well, I also think though that, you know, there's the you know, you see like a auto factories building these chips that are incredibly tiny. You know, if you had some space factory chonking out chips, it could very easily create this huge, huge computer.
There's nothing to do with computers, mate. All right? I don't know how much clearer to make it, mate.
You got a different idea.
Yeah,
mate.
This is a real world.
He's really
thing.
Stuck on computing here.
He keeps trying to wind it back to the Matrix. Yeah. Just watched the Matrix trilogy the Matrix for the 15th time.
I always saw it as sci-fi.
I think 3 is the best. That's the kind of opinion you'd have.
I've never even seen 3.
Don't. It's abysmal.
Matrix
1080p. Yeah.
I'm going to go to the gym more.
From the same hymn sheet.
Matrix New Year's resolutions. We live in a simulation, Neo. Have you ever noticed
cut down on my meat.
Have you ever noticed, Neo, that nobody ever carries out their New Year's resolutions? Whoa.
I know Kung Fu.
My New Year's resolution was to learn Kung Fu, and I did it.
Shit, baby, he is the one.
He said he was going to learn Kung Fu, and he did it. He said he was going to lose 5 pounds, and he did it. And he didn't drink in January. He is the one. The Matrix New Year's resolutions.
So can I do loose news?
Yeah, loose news.
Wait, already?
So, yeah. Well, yeah. I have to
He's got five minutes.
He's got a
meeting.
Got a phone call.
He's got an important meeting.
I have to end this podcast early. The Bank of England has issued a warning,
right?
The UK apparently has a plan for a potential crisis that could be triggered if the US confirm that aliens exist.
Yeah, I saw this. Fucking ridiculous. So, like, some minister was like, maybe we should be ready. It's like, shut up.
Yeah, maybe we should.
What about the stock market? Fuck off. If the aliens turn up, I'm just like, please either conquer us or just ascend us. Like, just help us out. Because they're going to turn up and either go, you guys are fucked, and leave. Or say, we come in peace, we're going to solve all your problems, welcome to the galactic community. Or they're going to go, oh cool, you've got some nickel, we love nickel, blap, and just kill us all. I don't care about what some fucking junior minister thinks.
Is that
the
name of the alien, blap?
No, they're called the blaps because they blap you.
Right in the planet.
So she's like, don't worry, Mr. Prime Minister, we've got a plan for what to do about the license fee now that the aliens are here. Fuck off.
Fuck off.
This is not about governmental plan. The aliens turn up. The whole of humanity changes, regardless of what your stupid plan on the back of a napkin
people is. People who write obituaries, right? They prepare them for when someone dies, so they've got less work to do when they do die, okay?
Yeah.
And it's always annoying when someone young dies, like, I don't know, Timothy Chalamet. No one's written his obituary.
He's not dead, is he?
No,
Timothy Chalamet.
Exactly. What I'm saying is that no one's
don't
written
tell
his
me
obituary.
That my precious Chalamet has
not
passed.
Chalamet went away. My Chalamet has gone away. If he dies, that's on you, Lewis. Because we do predict shit on this podcast.
I picked the
Timothy,
least likely person
to
die.
Mr. Chalamet, I'm a big
Chalamet
fan of your work.
Chalamet pegged us doing the reboot of Rambo.
Be careful. So Rambo.
They want him to do the new Rambo.
So, okay. There has been a casting call go out for a new Fallout TV show.
A new Fallout TV show?
They've already got a Fallout TV show. What are you talking about?
This is going to be called Fallout Shelter.
Right.
Where they get, it's like a reality show where they put contestants in a Fallout.
Oh, right. Like with one of the themes, the Vault-Tec themes for the bunker.
And make them
for the
do,
make
them
have Big Brother. This isn't a new idea. This is literally Big Brother.
Escalating challenges, strategic dilemmas. Yes. And moral conscious. I imagine it's going to be a little bit like that
Big
Korean...
Brother!
No!
Yes! That's literally what it
no,
is!
No, it's not like that!
It's going to be a little bit like... I've said it 5 times. It's literally Big Brother. You're putting
imagine
him in a house
Survivor,
and giving
but there is a bunker under the ground.
This is ridiculous! This is just Big Brother!
Do you think they'll have to do tasks?
Kind of.
While they're down there?
Yeah. Except they've got like... it's more.
And there'll be tasks, and the better they do in the task, the better the reward.
What was that stupid show I watched? The Korean one that was like this, but not. I can't remember. Anyway, it was quite good. There've been a few of them.
The physical 100.
Sort of things like
they
that.
Did tasks in that one too.
But with brain, the brain one, version of that for smarty pantses. Anyway, that'll be fun.
The mental 100.
It's a terrible idea, but I also think it's probably will happen. God, hopefully Mr. Beast.
I accident. Can we just do a 3-2-1 mark very quickly for me?
Because yeah.
I accidentally hit the space bar with my wrist and it paused the recording.
Sure. No.
Wait, do again.
Right. We're doing a live remark. Hold on.
3-2-1
mark.
I'm so sorry about
keep
that.
Keep all that in, editors. Keep all that in. It's
That's
gold.
Okay.
People can see behind the scenes.
Well, you'll have to move Sipsies around. I spent 20 minutes with Razor's AI anime girlfriend.
Did you? How'd it go?
I now need a shower. This is the title of this article. It was first teased last year as like an AI gaming assistant, and it would monitor your gaming performance to provide real-time feedback and coaching.
Right.
I don't like that. The backseating.
I need some. I need coaching desperately in a
nice
lot of games.
Nice flashbang, noob.
Yeah. Oh, that would be so funny.
like it constantly
looks like you
shit
the bed that
you.
Time.
Why
nice
don't you
aim,
use your
idiot.
Abilities?
When you got your eyes closed, unplug your steering wheel. It's a shooter game, stupid.
Yeah. It's just all the stuff that PFLAX used to say to me when I played Dota.
Yeah, yeah.
You're still one of the people I played with the most. So bad.
I know. I can't. It's nuts, isn't it? How long we played together. But yeah, so 2026, it now provides feedback during gaming sessions, but is in the form of an anime girl trapped in a cylinder speaker with suggestive and flirty
What's
undertones.
A cylinder speaker?
It's like one of them Power Rangers faces in the big face in the tube. Like
what's
Patrick
it meant,
Moore,
to, what's it meant to simulate? Like somebody whispering into your ear or something?
Yeah, it's really, it sounds creepy and unsettling, and it is. And so this is the worst
nice
sort of
shot.
Thing, really.
Beautiful. Good tracking.
So also in the world of AI, there is a special thing called a vital, okay? It's like an AI camera that it watches you eat.
Okay.
And that's weird, right. And it sounds weird. But basically you point it at your plate,
uh-huh.
Okay? And it tells you, it tracks like what you're eating and tells you to eat better.
Does it tell you like the best mix ratio for like, okay, you need 2 parts potato, 1 part cottage pie, and one part broccoli for your
it analyzes what you ate, how many calories of it, how many nutrients it's got of in it, what it's made of, what you're missing out, what you should eat next, but also how quickly you ate it, whether you focused on certain items more.
What?
So it learns like what kind of things you think you like more. And like, I don't know if, and it'll tell you like, oh, you didn't eat all of your broccoli, like it's your mum or something. Why do we need these things?
I'm mad as hell. I can safely
I can't
say
take
we
it
don't
anymore.
Need this at all. This is not something that is needed. And,
agreed.
And I would like to predict that this is something that will probably never be used as well. I would love to, in 5 years' time, look back on this and be like, oh my God, I was so wrong. But I still feel like in 5 years' time, I'll look back and be like, I was right. Because nobody cares about that. Like,
we'll be talking about... Here's the thing, right? You know when we used to, we first got iPhones or whatever, or smartphones, and they had everything on, like the calculator and your email and a fax machine and a camera and all that shit. You had like an entire backpack's worth of kit shrunk down into smartphones.
Yeah.
The next generation of smartphones, it's going to have all of this dumb shit built in. It's going to be like watching through your eyes and like listening all the time and like remembering all the conversations. And so it's like, you know, you'll talk to someone and you'll be like, what did my wife say to pick up? And she'll be like, your wife told you to pick up toilet roll. Do you know what I mean? We're going to be like babyfied. We're just going to be walking around giant babies that are like trying to eat. Here comes the airplane.
Don't forget the anusol.
Do you know what I mean? It's like,
Is this broadcasting? Don't forget the anusol. How do I turn this down? Don't forget the anusol.
I got to say, I'm going to use that pronunciation for anusol.
You're running low on
anusol.
Lube.
It's anusol, tissues. Isn't it? It's
anusol. I didn't want to say anus, though. It sounds...
I don't like the word anus.
It's mean.
It does sound
creepy.
Do you
know creepy. What? I do respect when medicines used to be called what it was for and just stick a couple of letters on the end.
Yeah.
Arsehole. is what they essentially call it. Excuse arsehole. Me, mate. Have you got any arsehole? Yeah, right there, mate.
Sordicolin.
Yeah, where's the sordicolin?
I need a big tube of sordicolin. I hurt my dick.
You got any thrush it? I've got, Mrs. has got thrush. That's why I'm buying it. It's called Thrush It.
No, it's not. That's itchy vaginal.
It, couldn't call it something. Yeah, vaginal.
No, it's Vagisil. Remember
Vagisil.
From what was that
Vagisil,
movie?
Vagisil, not an all. Everybody
price check on
stuff.
Vagisil. What movie was that from? Something About Mary or? Oh, no, it was Me, Myself, and Irene. Remember when he goes?
Oh, God, yeah.
When he
I liked that movie. I thought that was actually a pretty good movie.
It was a bit mad.
Me, Myself,
yeah.
and Irene.
It was funny, yeah.
Go check it out, because I have to stop this podcast. Thank you, everyone,
right.
for joining us.
Thank
this
you
week.
So much.
It's a little bit of a short one.
Yeah.
But I've got
That's what
things
she said.
To do.
We'll yeah. make up for it next time.
We love you all, and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.